Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world and gives us the assurance of eternal life.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Do you ever just feel beat up by life? Worn out from struggles with the world, the sinful flesh, the attacks and the schemes of the devil? Exhausted by the battles we must endure as foot soldiers in the longest running and the most vicious war in human history, the spiritual war between God and evil. Maybe you're exhausted by all of the turmoil in the world around us as we hear about yet another mass shooting somewhere and we get concerned about our own safety here. We turn on the TV and we see more angry shouting about how this person or that particular viewpoint is inherently racist, sexist, bigoted, homophobic, Islamophobic, or some other such thing. And meanwhile, there is truly the evil and oppression of that kind out there. But it gets buried in all the noise coming from Washington and Hollywood and the angry talking heads on television news programs. Or perhaps you're tired of the constant struggle with that sin that keeps rearing its ugly head in your life, no matter how many times you've confessed it. And you can relate well to the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, where he confesses that he doesn't understand himself. He says he doesn't do the good that he wants to do, but instead he does the very evil that he hates. He sees a battle within himself between the old sinful nature and the new desires and capacities he has as a follower of Christ. And he asks, who will deliver him from this body of death? And perhaps you wonder when you will be delivered from the sinful flesh body of death. Perhaps you feel strongly attacked by the enemy, the schemes of the enemy against you. You're battling constantly against his lies and temptations, schemes and discouragement, which is designed to destroy you, to destroy your faith, your family, our church, our community, our nation, and the world around us. But the truth, though, folks, is that Jesus Christ has overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And as believers in Christ, we share in that victory. And so we are overcomers as well. But some days, it doesn't feel that way, does it? Well, our text today, well, I pray, give us some encouragement in this. And I pray that it will serve as a little rest for weary souls. We continue our series in 1 John, Walking in Light and Love. We speak here today of walking in victory, and that our faith in Christ, our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And it gives us the assurance of eternal life. Before we look at our text in 1 John 5, a little context here. As you know, in this letter here, John is warning against false teachers with a twisted teaching on the nature of Christ, who he was and is, and on the nature of salvation, how we then are to live in light of Christ. There were some that were teaching that Christ was not God in the flesh, that is, they were denying his humanity. So others were denying that Jesus is the Son of God, that is, they were denying his deity. Some were denying that Jesus was the Christ. They would say that the so-called Christ spirit abandoned the man Jesus on the cross. Some were teaching, too, that a Christian can walk in sin and in hatred of his brother in Christ. But John forcefully replies that one cannot be a true follower of Jesus and persistently walk in the darkness of ongoing sin as a way of life. So here then we come to 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, John tells us, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. And if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that He is born concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God is born concerning His Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. You know, that's a tough passage there to interpret, isn't it? We're going along, we're following it, and then it gets a little confusing, doesn't it? Starts speaking of the water and the blood, and these testify. And what is John talking about in this passage here? Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment here. But I do want to say, there are, from time to time, I like to, as we read that text there in our ESV, the English Standard Version, it's good sometimes then to look not just at commentaries, but look at other translations, how they have handled these passages. And I like, there's a translation, the New Living Translation, I think does a very good job of making sometimes very difficult passages to understand, making it easier to understand and follow what it said. So I want to do, we have read that passage in its entirety there in the ESV. Before we go into that passage a little more carefully then, I want us to just listen to what the New Living Translation says first about these first five verses in 1 John chapter 5. He says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments." Loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So here then, as we walk in victory, as we walk in victory, you and I, through our faith in Jesus Christ, share in His victory over the world. You and I have not overcome the world in and of ourselves, have we? I have enough time, enough difficulty in the morning, overcoming the inertia of getting out of bed in the morning sometimes. Can you relate to that? You think about what's facing you that day. It's like, oh, I see I'm going to need to pray even more today, right? So I have not overcome anyone or anything, but Jesus Christ has overcome. He's overcome it all. And so through our faith in Him, we share in His victory. And because He has overcome, you and I have overcome as well, even though we don't feel like it. And I would say, especially on those days when we don't feel like it, we have overcome. And we need to remember that. Meditate on that. Walk in that. So here then, we have the victory that overcomes the world. You know, the Bible uses many terms to describe what Christians are, as believers, as friends of Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ. as sheep, as saints, as soldiers, as witnesses, as followers of Jesus. But here, John speaks of us as overcomers, as victors, persons who have won the battle, who have won the war. Not we ourselves, but Christ. So we share in Jesus' victory. He is the overcomer, the victor over the world, the flesh, and the devil. In these first five verses here, then, we see three characteristics of the overcomer, of the victor in Christ. What are those three characteristics? They are faith, love, and obedience. Faith, that the overcomer, the victor, has faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. You know, there is an element of faith here that means having the right understanding, the right doctrine, the right understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done, how we are saved, how we're redeemed, how we're made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, that he is God, he is man, he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, the Redeemer, who saved us through his perfect life, his atoning death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. He overcame. And so we too overcome through our faith in him. So the first characteristic here of an overcomer is that he or she has faith in Jesus the Christ. Right belief, right doctrine, but also, though, right doctrine isn't just in our head. Right doctrine is also what? It's in our hearts, and it's lived out in our lives. So faith, love. He says, everyone who loves the Father loves the children of the Father, loves those who have been born of God. Translation, if we have true faith, we love God the Father. And if we truly love God the Father, then we're going to love his children. And who are his children? Look around this room, right? It's all of our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the ones born of God, the children of God. So a true follower of Jesus has faith in Jesus the Christ, loves his or her fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But then there is also this that John insists repeatedly in this. You know, as you read through John's letter here, it seems like, oh, is he going back to that? There are some topics or themes that he just seems to keep circling back to, right? Why do you suppose that is? Because it's so important. It was so important for them to understand. And it's important for us to know and understand as well, isn't it? And so it comes back to this theme here again. It says, what? If we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, if we truly love God, then we will love one another. Can you truly believe in Jesus the Christ? Can you truly love God the Father, but hate his other children? No, it's impossible. But then he also says that if we truly love God, that it will be shown in our obedience to him, that we will obey his commandments. Again, can someone claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and yet walk in consistent, persistent sin and rebellion, refusing to obey what God says? Nope. Someone can claim to be a follower of Christ and then walk daily in rebellion and sin. But John insists, no, you cannot truly follow Jesus Christ and walk in darkness and sin and hatred as a way of life. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I don't struggle with sin, does it? But it's talking about a person who has no regard for that and doesn't think it's a big deal. and that isn't really struggling. They're just giving in to the sin and rebellion. John says, no, we can't. That if we truly love God, and if we truly love one another, then we will obey His commandments. And it's not a perfect obedience. I'm still working on a lot of things in my life, actually. God is still working on, maybe that's a better, more accurate, God is still working on a number of things in me. Anybody else here? God working on some things in you? Yeah? So he says then, loving God means keeping His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Now somebody just said, whoa, wait a minute, John. What do you mean His commands are not burdensome? How many of you feel sometimes that obeying God is a heavy burden? It feels difficult, right? Now he didn't say it isn't difficult sometimes, but he said His commandments are not burdensome. And what did John mean when he said that? Well, I think he was referring back to some things that Jesus said about His commandments and being a follower of His, about how it is not burdensome. And I think here's what he's talking about. In Jesus' ministry, in His earthly ministry, you recall He was constantly in conflict or receiving opposition from the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, right? And there's one passage in Matthew chapter 23 where Jesus then is speaking, He says this, Matthew 23, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to His disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice." There's one of those examples of expressions we get. Practice what you preach. So here it is. So for their preaching, here's your leaders. They're out there. They're sitting in Moses' seat. That is, they have the place of religious authority and responsibility before the nation there. So you need to listen to them because they sit in that seat. But listen to what they say, but don't do what they do. All right? They preach, but they don't actually practice it. There's a word for that, right? Preaching one thing and doing another. What do we call that? Hypocrites, right? So he says, for they preach but do not practice. And what do? Verse 4. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. What's he talking? He's saying about what? They are constantly laying down all of these heavy duty, man-made rules and regulations on you, their own laws, laying that on you, making it such a heavy burden for you to carry, and then they don't do anything to help you carry it. So these burdens are these, it's man-made religion that they were laying down on them. And to that point, Jesus says elsewhere, speaking of that, he says what? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That walking in the light and love of Jesus and the power of the Spirit is not burdensome like these man-made rules and regulations. So faith, love, obedience, these are characteristics of a true follower of Christ. And Christ has overcome the world. Jesus knows you and I will face trouble or tribulation, doesn't he? It says in John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Can I get a witness to that? In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. How did he overcome the world? Through his life, death, and resurrection. Through his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, he has overcome. And as I was thinking about this week, a thought occurred to me, and I want to just call this a little speculation, okay? I am not going to stand here and tell you, yep, I know for a fact that this went through Jesus' mind. Okay, I don't know that it did or not, but I just want to just to speculate for a moment here, okay? When Jesus went to the cross, as he was hanging on that cross, remember, he is the God-man, right? He is God, he is man. And in his humanity, he had a human spirit. He had human emotions. And he wrestled with that, didn't he? In the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he say there? He prayed what? Three times, Father. As the reality of the crucifixion and everything that that meant, not the painful ordeal that it was, certainly that, you know, was a factor, but what he was thinking about, what he was about to, the spiritual agony that he was about to go through when he was punished for the sin of the world. And he said, Father, if possible, may this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but you will. Where was that coming from? That was coming from his humanity, right? But he was obedient, though, too. Now I wonder, as he hung on that cross, as he was experiencing that awful agony physically, emotionally, psychologically, and most importantly, spiritually, do you think Jesus the man felt like a victor, an overcomer at that moment? Did he know that he was, though? Absolutely. Was he obedient all the way through it? Absolutely. But in his human spirit, do you think he felt like a victor at that moment? Probably not. And so, as you and I then, in union with him, are going through what we go through, do we feel like victors in that moment? No. But does that change the fact that we are victors over it all in Christ? Doesn't change that fact one bit, does it? No matter how we feel, in any given moment, we have the victory in Christ. So through faith in Christ, we are overcomers as well. And you and I then can walk in his victory, but it doesn't mean that we will always feel like victors. God has given a testimony, too, to this victory of Jesus. In Deuteronomy there, the law speaks of a need for two or three witnesses in order to establish a fact or testimony. Well, here in that somewhat confusing passage there, starting in verse 6 about the blood and the water and the Spirit, God has given three witnesses to testify then to the identity and work of Christ, his Son. Three witnesses that testify of his identity and of his work as the Christ, the Savior. So listen then, as we read here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 12, here in the New Living Translation, which I think makes it clear for us here, says, "And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. And since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life." So then, we have the victory that overcomes the world, and we have the testimony of the victory. That testimony of the victory is external, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. But there is also an internal witness in the Spirit in our hearts. But first, this testimony of the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Well, I think when it speaks of the testimony of the Spirit, it's speaking first off of the prophecies of Scripture, and how Jesus fulfilled those as the Spirit spoke in the Old Testament through the prophets, that Jesus fulfilled those That's part of the testimony of the Spirit. But I think it's also then how the Spirit testified during the earthly life and ministry of Jesus through the miracles that Jesus did. You know, that Jesus walked in the power of the Spirit. That there were these miracles that he did, sometimes by his own power, but other times how? By the power of the Spirit working in and through him as he was submitted to the Spirit testifying in that way that this is the Christ, fulfilling the prophecies of the Messiah, the Christ, as a miracle worker. So the Spirit testifying through prophecy, through miracles. The testimony of the water, a reference to his baptism, that here was a testimony of Christ about his identity and his work as the Christ through his baptism. In Matthew chapter 3, we're told there where it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' And then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" You see the Trinity there in that, don't we? With the Son of God, we see the Spirit of God descending upon him and the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my Son with whom I am believed, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him," right? The testimony of the water, the testimony of the blood, the crucifixion. When Jesus was on the cross, his opponents were taunting him, saying, "Oh, here, look, here's the Son of God dying on a cross before us, his blood pouring out. If he's the Son of God, well, then let him save himself now," right? Save yourself, Son of God. So Matthew says in Matthew 27, verses 42 through 54, these opponents saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." See, folks, these are historical facts. And there is another historical fact, the resurrection, right? It's the cornerstone of our faith. So our faith is based on historical facts, not on mystical speculation. Historical facts. These are the witnesses. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, they all agree and testify. The prophecies, the miracles, the baptism, the crucifixion. These all testify to the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's external witnesses. We also have an internal witness. That internal witness is the witness of the Spirit in your mind, in your heart as well. That he testifies to you as a follower of Jesus, the truth about Jesus, doesn't he? Romans 8, 15 through 17. Romans 8, my favorite chapter of Scripture. Romans 8, verses 15 through 17. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. See, I kind of want to park on that section about how he testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And then if children, then heirs. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. That's the painful part, right? But we are his children. We are his heirs. But we will suffer in this world. But we, with Christ, have overcome the world. And we will be glorified with him over the world. So what? What do you want me to do? Well, I would remind us, first, when our faith is the victory that overcomes the world and gives us the assurance of eternal life. See, this is our victory, the victory of Christ. This is our hope, the assurance of eternal life. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. This is our hope. We have life. We have eternal life. No matter what's going on, no matter how painful or grueling the circumstances of our lives right now, we have the victory. We have eternal life. So do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? That he is God, that he is man, that he is the Redeemer who took the punishment for your sin on the cross? He died, he was buried, and he rose again in order that you might have victory over sin and death. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Is your faith revealed through persevering or continuing in that faith? In love? Love for God, love for the children of God? In obedience? Obedience to his commandments? This is the assurance we have that our faith is true, is real. And then are you walking in victory? I didn't ask if you were walking in it, where it, that everything was always a party every day, and every day was one victory after another, because it doesn't feel that way some days, does it? Are you walking in the victory of Christ means that no matter what's going on, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus has overcome and we will overcome with him. So what do we need to do daily then to walk in victory? Well, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be reminding ourselves and meditating constantly on the truth of the Word of God. But we need then to put on that spiritual armor, the armor of God, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Go home today, read it, reflect on that. Think about what that means. To put on that belt of truth, those shoes of peace, that breastplate of righteousness, that shield of faith, that helmet of salvation, that sword of the Spirit, and praying all times and all ways and all things for all the saints. That's the daily armor of God, and that's what we need to do. Put that on daily to walk in victory. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we do have the victory in Jesus Christ. I have not overcome anyone or anything. None of us have. But Jesus has. So Lord, for those of us who are struggling right now with what's going on, maybe feeling beat up, exhausted, fatigued by all the chaos and the turmoil around us, by the struggle with sin within, with the assaults, the lies, the temptations, the discouragement of the enemy, you have overcome, Lord Jesus. You have told us in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, you have overcome. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for your victory. May we walk in victory then, daily, taking up that armor of God, walking in the truth, And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.